B-Pod Studios.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Covering the Phillies for the Inquirer, and we're disappointed in the team so far, but maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel. Mr. Scott Lawbrough on the Comcast Business Hotline. How are you today, Scott?
Doing well. How's everyone?
Doing okay, other than this baseball team. Now, Scott, all right. On paper, this is a really good baseball team. Unfortunately, on the field, they have not, and then they get swept by the Mets once again. So before we dig into the whole season, they're now, what, 5-17, their last 22 games against the Mets. And the Mets are not, and they're way over 500 against every other team in the league. What is it about the Mets and these Phillies? And then I know that everyone else is going to ask you about the larger issues.
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely, you know, there's always that team, right, that just you just don't match up well against, or you just don't play well against. I mean, look, last year, the majority of the games against the Mets were clustered early in the season. They played them a lot before June. Obviously, the Phillies didn't have their stuff together before June, and it didn't go so well. So some of it is that. Some of it is timing. I do wonder if they'd played them more the second half of last year, when they basically played the Mets pretty much even record-wise, whether it would have been a different story. But it is weird. It is one of those things. And it's going to have to turn around, right? Because they're going to have to beat teams like the Mets and Braves in order to get back into this thing. And, hey, let's just be thankful, right, that they didn't play them in the playoffs last year, that it was the Braves and the Padres and not the Mets, because that might have been a completely different story. The Mets certainly do have their number. And I guess the silver lining is you don't play them as often anymore with the balanced schedule. So it's a weird one.
How do you feel about the messaging? Now, look, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but when Rob Thompson was asked yesterday after the game that they're a game out of the last place with the Nationals, that's hard to believe, right? And he said, well, they're a better club this year. They're playing pretty well, too. It's like that kind of rubs me the wrong way, as if, like, what are we doing here? Like, we're giving credit to a Nationals team that stinks. They're not playing well, and you're not playing well either. And then Kyle Schwarber says we're not going to hit the panic button. Like I said, maybe I'm just reaching for answers right now because I'm frustrated, but I don't like what I'm hearing. What say you?
So I was in there yesterday, and I was asking a lot of those questions and others to other players. And look, I mean, I guess the heart of what I was trying to get at with a lot of guys was, listen, like, on one hand, right, like, there is something to be said for having been there before and gotten out of it. Like, there is something to be said for being 22-29 last year, overcoming that, making the playoffs. At the same time, you don't want to lean on that, right? You want to play with more urgency than that. You don't want to get caught up in saying, well, we came back last year, we can do it again, because last year's last year. And, and then look, it's not just the Phillies, right? You can look at the Nationals in 2019, were 19-31, wound up winning the pennant. The Braves in 21 were under 500. I think it was 30-35 in June, wound up winning the pennant. So the last three full season NL pennant winners all started really poorly. And so you could point to that. You can say, look, we're not buried. It can be done. But also at the same time, you don't want to lean on that. And I think that's kind of where the messaging is a little bit mixed, because Kyle Schwarber will say in one breath, we're not going to hit the panic button because we've been here before. And I like that. You know, I don't want them hitting the panic button just yet, because it is just June and there is a lot of baseball left and the National League is not going anywhere. There are a lot of bad teams in the National League. The Phillies are not, certainly not buried. At the same time, you know, Schwarber's saying, look, we all know that, like, you can't just rely on last year happening again. So there's sort of this weird kind of balance of, like, confidence because they've been here before and urgency because they don't want to just lean on last year. So I'm sure it's somewhere in the middle of those two things. Like, I don't sense that there's any panic in the room, but I also don't think anyone is satisfied to just say, hey, it's early, because I think they know it's not that early.
Well, interestingly enough, you get to the present time. Trey Turner moves to the number five spot tonight. Schwarber goes back to the leadoff spot tonight. What do you think Topper's thinking in this type of situation?
I don't know. I'm looking forward to hearing from him on it, but you know, it's not often you take a guy who's struggling as much as Kyle Schwarber and move him up in the lineup to the leadoff spot. I guess one thing, you know, Schwarber's having such a weird year. He really is. His walk rate, believe it or not, is up. You would think if the walk rate was up that everything else would be going well because he's seeing more pitches and he's being patient at the plate and he's not chasing. But his chase rate is also up, which means he is swinging at bad pitches that he normally wouldn't swing at, and he's not getting any hits. I mean, he batted 115 in May. I think he had 10 hits, and like 8 of them were for extra bases. So, like, the notion of Kyle Schwarber getting a base hit is no longer like a thing. Like, that just doesn't happen anymore. So I don't know. I'm assuming they're looking at it and going, well, Schwarber is the one guy who is seeing pitches. Maybe you get a better at bat to start off the game. I don't know. I mean, that's as good as I've got. I'm looking forward to hearing what Thompson has.
We're speaking with Scott Lauber. He does an incredible job covering the Phillies for the Inquirer. The pitching staff. So Wheeler, he goes tonight. He was good the last time. You had Ranger finally look good. Walker had been looking decent. He struggles. And then Nola. What is it about why do you think the starting pitching staff, because I guess there's kind of a long list of issues, has been so inconsistent this year, noting the fact that both Ranger and Wheeler have looked better their last outing?
And, you know, Suarez was the last outing. It was in New York. And so I'm not willing to sort of put him in the, like, he's found it category yet, like, or he's figured it out yet. We need to keep seeing it from him. And, you know, the hope there is that, like, he's passed that sort of, you know, he didn't have a spring training because he got hurt. And so, you know, you say, okay, the first two or three starts, even though he did make a few rehab starts, the first two or three starts, he's still kind of, you know, getting into the season, and it's sort of a delayed thing for him. You hope that maybe now he's past that, he's into the season, and he can get on a roll. Nola kind of makes me scratch my head, and Walker makes me scratch my head, and for some of the same reasons. I mean, neither of them throughout their career are guys who walk a lot of guys. They are control guys. They are guys who have good command, don't fall behind, and they have both fallen behind and walked a ton of guys. And I don't know what to attribute that to. It's probably different in each of their cases. You know, with Nola, I do wonder whether it has to do with, you know, look, you hear about the World Series hangover. I think it's real for pitchers. Like, I do. I think that the shorter off season, the extra months, the extra work that they get during that month, the stakes being what they are, you know, I think it's more difficult for them to come back the next year and be as sharp right away. And I think maybe he's going through a little bit of that. I don't think it's the contract. I don't think it's that there's a health issue there. I just think he hasn't been sharp, and I don't know how else to explain it other than to say that maybe there is a carryover effect from last year and then the short off season. With Walker, I don't know. I mean, I half expected to go down there after the game yesterday and find out that he was feeling some tightness somewhere, some soreness somewhere. They took him out after 4 innings, 74 pitches. Thompson said he didn't want to let him go through the order a third time, which I understand given the way he was pitching. But, like, look, you know, he said he was fine. Well, it would almost be better if he wasn't fine, because then you'd have a reason to explain why he hasn't been as sharp. So I don't know. And he did look like he was turning the corner. But, again, he's been bad more than he's been good, and they certainly need to get more than they've gotten out of him, because, you know, they don't have a number 5 starter. But I think, as we've talked about, there are a lot of teams that have a 5th starter problem. Not a lot of teams that are good, at least, have a 4th and a 3rd starter problem. And so the Phillies need to figure those 2 spots out before we continue to dwell on what they're going to do about number 5.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Speaking of injuries, Alec Boehm, how serious is this that he's dealing with?
They're saying not very. They're saying it's mild. Here's the thing. He had some, whatever they called it, soreness, tightness in the hamstring. They sat him out last Sunday, knowing that he'd also have Monday off, figuring that 2 days off, he was going to knock it out. Well, it flared up again on him on Tuesday night when he charged the slow roller at third base. So the decision was, hey, look, let's shut him down for a minimum of 10 days, and hopefully that really makes it go away, and they don't have to worry about this thing becoming a longer-term or lingering thing. So I don't think they necessarily look at it as something that's serious. They just want it to go away, and they think that the best way to make it go away would be to IL him and just totally kind of eliminate it.
I have a question about the bench, because something that probably looked like it could be a strength from last year to this year, all of a sudden I think there's some exposure going on. I think Edmundo Sosa's being a little bit exposed. We're seeing a lot more of Cody Clemens than we thought. And then you get a guy like Drew Ellis, who was the Phillies' last hope yesterday. Do you think Dave Dombrowski's still looking for help on the bench?
Possibly. I mean, look, when they're at full strength, their bench is kind of a non-factor, you know, because you're not going to pinch hit a lot for your normal nine guys. You're really not. I mean, who are you going to normally hit for? Like, if you've got, you know, a guy at first base, you know, like, look, they thought they were going to have Rhys Hoskins at first base. They don't. They thought they were going to have Derek Hall at first base. They don't. They thought that they were going to have Alec Bohm at first base, which then moves someone else over to third. So yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. I definitely think Sosa has gotten exposed, in playing every single day. The same thing would the same thing might happen to Clemens, which is why you're not seeing Clemens play against lefties. They've called up Drew Ellis to play against lefties at first base. So I think they want to try to mitigate that with Clemens. But yeah, I mean, certainly, like, I think that's the reason why Sosa's not been an everyday guy throughout his career, is that you give him a run of playing time and eventually it does expose him a little bit. So they're kind of a little bit, you know, I think the thing is they're thin in AAA, and when they have some issues, you're not really sure who to bring up. Like, maybe this is on my mind because they were just in New York, but I see a Mets team that was struggling, and they went to their farm system, and they called up Alvarez, Beatty, and Vientos. And those three guys, while they don't play every single day, seem to have energized the Mets a little bit. Who are the Phillies going and getting from AAA to help them, even when they have an injury, to kind of bring some energy? There's just not a whole lot there. So, you know, that's why you're seeing Drew Ellis, who was not even in the organization 2 months ago, wasn't employed 2 months ago, coming up to fill in at first base, because they just don't have a whole lot there to call up to make things, to kind of strengthen that bench or strengthen that depth and make things a little bit better.
Well, Scott, we really appreciate the time. It'll be interesting. They have some six straight winnable games before they host the Dodgers. Hopefully they're playing better by then, because at this point, are you prepared to start writing? Just as a writer, were you thinking that this team could be this far out of it this early? Just as a journalist, I'm speaking, not as a fan.
Not this far under 500, you know, yeah. not 25 and 31, but I would say that they're not out of anything, because mm-hmm. the National League, I think there are three teams in the National League that are even five games over. It's just mm-hmm. the Dodgers, Braves, and Diamondbacks. So, you know, you roll off like 16 out of 20, and you're right there. You're right where you need to be. So they had that kind of run in them last June. Do they have it in them again? I agree with you. These next six games are very winnable. What do you think? 5-1? Like, does 5-1 make everybody happy?
Yeah.
I think you got to do better than 4-2. I mean, so I think you got to go 5-1 or 6-0 against some bad teams here to kind of get yourself back to 500 and feeling good again.
I appreciate the time. Have a good weekend, Scott. Thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
All right. That was Scott Lauber on the Comcast Business Hotline. Does a tremendous job covering the Phillies for the Inquirer.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.